Time for our weekly visit to the table with Gail, when your taste buds are tickled by various recipes that she comes along with. I'm Peter Fleming. I have to say, just before I introduce Gail, that the last thing she did last week was a thing called Khachapuri Georgian Stuffed Flatbreads. Well, we'd got some visitors coming to stay, and I thought, I'll have a bash at those. They're pretty simple. It's just plain flour and water and a bit of olive oil and some yogurt. And you roll them out flat, put a mixture in the middle of some different sorts of cheese. What I didn't quite understand from the recipe was that the fact that you, I thought it said fold in half, so it became like a sort of Cornish pasty. But when you've done it and you see what it looks like, a circle of dough with a pile of stuff in the middle, yeah, you just bring the out bits to the middle with your fingers and pinch them together and then flatten them down to about, oh, I don't know, a centimetre thick. Mm. And then you fry them in some olive oil in a frying pan. Jolly nice, Gail.
Well, very shortly it might be at the table with Peter by the sounds of things. But, I mean, I've seen a photograph of them this morning and you'll probably see it on the website or on their Facebook page or whatever. But I'll tell you what, they look very, very professional and they look absolutely gorgeous. So if you're going to try anything. And anyway, Peter, you didn't tell me, did your guests like them?
Yes, they did. Yes, they went down well. We had them with the barbecue. Yeah,
oh, did you?
On the side of it, yeah.
They look very, very nice. And Peter tells me that his wife made the fruit mince muffins too as well.
They were excellent.
There you are. So we're between the two of us, we're trying out these recipes. So they looked gorgeous too as well. I did actually make those.
You can get some feedback from me, all being well. Not every week, but anyway.
The same with me. It's like I brought in some of the lavash biscuits, crisp breads this morning, because they're going to be featured as well. And basically, they were quite nice, and that's the first time making and an experiment, really.
They were wonderful. They're just, you know, you buy packets of these things, but they were just as good and perfect to sit with your glass of wine.
Exactly, exactly, with a bit of cheese or something like that. Yeah, oh, it sounds beautiful. But anyway, today, Peter, we start off with this very flash scones, and a cranberry and orange scones. And I do like a scone at the best of time, and I usually, in fact, I made some the other day, but not these ones. But I am going to try these because I'll be taking them somewhere in the next couple of days. So we've got 3 cups of just plain flour and a little bit extra for dusting, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/3 cup of caster sugar, plus a little bit of extra for sprinkling, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 150 grams of cold butter, 1 1/2 cups of dried cranberries, and the finely grated zest of 2 oranges, 2 cups of cream, and milk for brushing, and of course, salted butter to serve, of course. But, you know, these are quite sort of exquisite scones, really, Peter. You know, they're a little bit out of the ordinary. But we preheat the oven to 190 degrees Celsius and grease and lightly flour a baking tray and place the flour, baking powder, baking soda, sugar and salt into a large bowl. Now, you're cutting in the cold butter. Cold butter's good for scones. Then rub through the dry ingredients with your fingers until the mixture resembles fine breadcrumbs. Add the cranberries and the fine orange zest and just mixing that through. Make a well in the centre and slowly add cream. Mix gently to form a soft dough. Do not knead the dough. So I'm saying that, you know, emphatically, it says handle it as little as possible. Now, not just for these scones, Peter, but for other scones. I never, he's giving me the thumbs up. He's obviously done that. When you make scones, you don't handle them very much. You just give them a good, you know, plump around with your hands. I usually pat them down with a little bit of flour, and that's when I sort of either cut them or put them into rounds.
Don't they recommend you mix with a knife?
Exactly, they do. They recommend you mix with a knife, and that's what I do. Cut through it, and then just bringing it together and handle it as little as possible. And then you're placing them on a lightly floured surface and form into a round about 20 centimetres across. So you're forming it into round, brush with milk and sprinkle with that extra bit of sugar. It's lovely. It gives it a nice finish. And place the round on the prepared baking tray and cut into 12 triangular scones, but keep the pieces together. Keep them together. So you're just cutting through, but keep them. Don't spread them out on your tray. And bake those for 20 to 25 minutes until they're golden. So there you are. Just and serve warm with butter. Oh, I just love it. When I go and buy scones, I actually ask the staff, I say, can you give me a little bit of extra butter, please? Because I like butter with my scones.
Oh, I'm too shy to do that. I often want more butter.
Don't be shy.
These sound really good, Gail. I mean, my wife and I were a bit of an expert on scones since we came to live in New
Zealand. Oh, right. Oh, okay.
And I do like the idea of the greater zest of the oranges.
Mm. Well, I'm feeling a bit annoyed with myself now, Peter, because you know why? I had a couple of oranges, two or three oranges that were looking a bit sad, and I thought, oh, I don't want to leave those there. So I cut them in half and juiced them. And just looking at this recipe now, could have used them for the zest. But never mind. It won't hurt me to get another couple from the supermarket.
One thing that puzzles me about scones is, should you use self-raising flour, or you've got plain and baking powder and baking soda? You've got...
Yeah, there could be a reason. I think it's got sometimes more oomph if you're using baking powder because, you know, I do use both flours in my pantry, the self-raising. But sometimes when I do use self-raising, I might throw in another teaspoon of baking powder.
I go along with that.
Yeah. But I do like using the baking powder. I think it does, you know, it definitely does something else for it. And so does the baking soda too as well.
Okay.
But I'm going to show Peter an illustration there. And they do look yummy.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I quite like. I rather than try and cut your stuff up into rounds and make round scones, as you say, just make one big round one and sort of score it ready to go.
Exactly.
Easier score to cook.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, looks pretty
and
good.
And all different shapes. It doesn't matter if you've got a bundle there. Don't worry about having them all uniform. I think they look more interesting when they're all different shapes. And if you are putting them on your baking tray, you know, and you're cutting them and just think, oh, they don't have to all be square. Some triangle, some, you know, whatever shape it is. And they look lovely.
Scones should be rough and ready.
Yeah, I think so too, Peter. But anyway,
good start.
Good start. So we're going to try this one today. It's a banana cake, but it's egg-free and dairy-free. So there might be people out there that could be very interested in this. And it's given to me by a friend who has a little person in their family that's intolerant of these. So I said, oh, I'll grab that recipe. Thanks very much. We were having a cup of tea one day and I said, oh, I'll grab that and use it on my program. So here we go. 2 cups of just standard flour, you know, your standard flour, 3/4 cup of soft brown sugar, and pack it firmly in when you're measuring that out. 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1.5 teaspoons of ginger, which I thought was, you know, oh, he's looking excited, Peter is, about that. Obviously loves ginger. And, you know, and I thought that was a little bit unusual for a banana cake. And I haven't made this either. So very interesting with the ginger in it. Could be worth making just to try what, you know, see what that tastes like. And we've got some 1.5 teaspoons of cinnamon. Did I give you that? Is that on your recipe?
It is on my recipe. I was going to look bright and cheerful about that as well.
Oh, right. And 3 mashed bananas. I mean, you could do it with less, but I think, you know, give it that banana flavour and mash up 3 mashed bananas and 1/2 cup of olive oil and 1/2 cup of, you know, just milk. But you can use soya or rice, but you can just use cow's milk. It's up to you. But if there are special dietary, I think this was intended to use soya or rice, but you can use ordinary cow's milk.
That's worth mentioning,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, so it is worth mentioning. You can adapt this to how you like, but basically... soya and rice was the milk used from this person that gave me the recipe. Now we're going to preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Now you can grease a ring tin well, and I usually just spray mine over, but you can use an ordinary baking tray. I just think the baking tin, because a greased ring tin is... you know, it probably cooked faster, but you can use an ordinary tin. combine the sifted flour, brown sugar, baking powder, baking soda, cinnamon and ginger. Now, have that all sifted together, and you're mixing your mashed bananas with the olive oil, and make sure they are well combined, and probably takes about 5 minutes to get that oil right into the banana. So in a good bowl, just make sure you're giving that a good whisk or a fork. If a whisk works, use a whisk. Add the banana mixture to the dry ingredients. Stir in whatever milk it is that you've got to create a just moist mixture. Just moist. Place it into the prepared baking tin evenly. I quite often give my baking tin a bit of a shimmy on the flat surface. Exactly. That's it. Peter just demonstrated, and it was perfect. And basically, that's what I do, just to make it's got an even surface. And bake for 20 to 25 minutes until cooked. And, of course, you always put your tester in to see if it's cooked, or you just do the spring test. You know, you can feel it on top. You don't need to ice this cake because, you know, it's probably going to taste really nice. But I'd be, you know, probably inclined to put a bit of vanilla icing or something on the top, or I'm not sure. Or just sift some icing sugar over the top. Look pretty anyway.
And put butter this one, would you?
Well, you could. You could butter it. But I don't think I would butter it, but there's nothing to stop you from buttering it. But you can freeze this cake. But don't ice it. If you're going to freeze it, don't ice it. Just put it in the freezer. But yeah, if you cut a round cake in half, well, I said a ring tin, so you'd cut it, you know, divide it round. You could put a little wee bit of touch of butter on it. Nothing to stop you.
That's great. I like the idea of things like bananas and carrot cake and things. Mm. And what was it I made once? I tried making zucchini. No, you can make zucchini cake.
Yes, you can.
Oh, beetroot cake. I made a beetroot cake.
Oh, chocolate beetroot cake?
It wasn't chocolate. I can't remember. I think I just copied some kind of cake, and just instead of whatever was going, zucchini. Instead of zucchini.
Oh, you are brave.
I just used beetroot. Well, you muck about.
Well, chocolate, you see, hides the beetroot, of course.
Yes.
And I know I've tried it because a person actually made one, and she said, I want you to try this cake. She wasn't going to tell me what was in it, and I tasted it, and it was lovely, and she said, there's beetroot in it, and I said, well, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't.
You would not know.
It was a bit disappointing because of that. I like this. I like the sound of this. I like the ginger and
yes.
the cinnamon. Mm. I put cinnamon in anything.
And a banana cake. Mm. I haven't heard of that, but anyway, that's good. And that's a couple of recipes to take us up to our break. Peter.
Yes, and well, we haven't found a song that talks about a banana cake, but we have found a song that talks about banana pancakes, haven't we?
It's got the main word in there, Peter, banana.
And it's a rather jolly little tune, so we'll move over to that. This is Jack Johnson and Banana Pancakes.
Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you. Song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. Pretend it all the time. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But just maybe, like a ukulele, mama made a baby. Really don't mind the practice, cause you're my little lady. Lady, lady, love me, cause I love to lay you lazy. We could close the curtains, pretend like there's no world outside. Then we could pretend it all the time, Lord. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Can't you see, can't you see? Rain all day and I don't mind.
sang a ring and it's too early, don't pick it up. We don't need to, we got everything we need right here, and everything we need is enough. Just so easy when the whole world fits inside of your arms. Do we really need to pay attention to the alarm? Wake up slow. Wake up slow. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you this song is meant to keep you from doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. And we could pretend it all the time. Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain all day and I really, really, really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see? You gotta wake up slow.
Jack Johnson there making banana pancakes. And we're back in the studio where Gail is going to make this time a roasted pineapple and dark rum cake.
Yes, very interesting. Well, when I was reading it through, Peter, I thought, gee, there's an awful lot of rum going in this cake. By the time you finish it, I hope you're sort of, you know, still standing up straight. But quite interesting, though, because this is a roasted pineapple cake. So you're roasting the pineapple before you do anything else. And rather interesting, a little bit, you know, so not, well, it's not really complicated. It's just when you roast the pineapple, your cake is just like an ordinary cake, really, but it's quite involved. So we'll start off with one pineapple, and that's about 150 grams cut into, you know, small pieces, 2 tablespoons of soft brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of light olive oil, 1 tablespoon of dark rum, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. Now, that is your pineapple. Now, I can move down if you like, and we'll just do what we need to do with this pineapple. So you're preheating the oven to 230 degrees Celsius, fan bake, and line a baking tray with baking paper. So initially, that's actually very hot. So in a bowl, toss the pineapple cubes with the sugar, oil, rum, and cinnamon, and then spread out onto the baking sheet and bake for 15 to 20 minutes or until golden. And then set aside to cool while you make the cake. And I was thinking about that, Peter, because I thought to myself, well, you could just do that without making the cake, actually. That would be really, really tasty with some vanilla ice cream or...
I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
Right, yeah, just in itself without, you know, going to the trouble of making the cake. I just thought,
yes,
got an option there.
It's a good mixture, isn't it?
It is. So we're moving on now to the cake. And so while you're doing your cake, I presume that you've done that and your pineapple is cooking in the oven. So the cake now is to 200 grams of butter and leave that at room temperature, 200 grams of brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 4 eggs, 150 grams of almond flour, 50 grams of plain white flour, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, pinch of sea salt, and here we go again, 60 mils of dark rum. So that's 2 shots of rum so far.
The best thing, and if you use a slightly large measure and you measure it, you say, oh, bother, I've put 90 mils, I'll just sip the 30 mils.
Yes, well, I was thinking about that. Well, now we move down to the cake and to what we do. So when you've finished cooking your pineapple, please, please remember to lower your oven temperature to 180 degrees and keep it on fan bake. So don't forget that, because otherwise you're going to have, you know, 2 very black cakes. Now, to make the cake, and you need those 2 sort of sponge tins, I don't know how many people use them. I've got them, but I don't use them that often. Those two little sponge tins. So you need two of those and line them with baking paper. Now, to make the cake in the bowl of an electric mixer, cream the butter, sugar and vanilla until pale, light and fluffy. So you can let that go and it changes the colour, comes up lovely white and fluffy. Add in the eggs one at a time, beating well after each addition. Now, I don't need to remind you, and I like to say this, because if you're putting four eggs into a cake and one of them for some reason doesn't look good or smell good, you've wasted the whole mixture. So I always break the egg into a saucer or a cup or something like that. Then you know for sure you're not going to lose everything. Gradually fold in the almond flour, the ordinary flour, cinnamon and salt, and mix until just combined. Finally, fold through the rum, but be careful not to overmix. And you divide that evenly between the two cake pans and spread out, you know, spread it right out. Dot in the cooled pineapple pieces and press them down lightly into the batter. Bake for approximately 30 minutes. The cakes are ready when golden in colour, springy to touch, and a skewer, of course, as we insert, comes out clean. Allow the cakes to cool for about 10 minutes in the pans before turning out onto the cooling rack. Now, these are actually iced. So for the icing, you need 150 grams of butter softened, 220 grams of icing sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and of course we can't forget the essential item, 2 tablespoons of rum, and 100 grams of cream cheese. Well, I sort of think it's going to be, yeah, quite rummy, I think.
That's a nice icing, that is.
It does. To make the icing in a bowl of an electric mixer, beat the butter by itself until smooth, add the icing sugar and beat on high until seriously light and fluffy. Add the vanilla and rum, then gradually add the cream cheese and beat till it's completely smooth.
That's very interesting. When you beat, it's got to be seriously light and fluffy.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't want any flippancy here.
Now, basically, once the cakes are completely cool, transfer one layer onto a serving plate and then ice this layer with a palette knife. We all know what a palette knife is. It's a nice flat knife. And carefully place the other layer on top of your iced layer. And neatly ice the top of the cake and decorate as desired. And you can do that with freeze-dried pineapple pieces or what else? Maybe some...
Well, you've put shredded coconut here.
Shredded coconut. Yes, shredded coconut. Forgot about that one. And that can just decorate at the top and just serve at room temperature. But when you finish, refrigerate in an airtight container, okay, and leave that in the fridge.
Sounds very nice. My mother used to be, she was a bit of an expert on Victoria sponges, so I know what you mean by those sponge tins.
Yeah, the sponge tins, the round ones, which, you know, I suppose people still use them, but I must admit I don't very often because I don't very often make sponges.
Can I ask a question? Well, I know I can ask you questions. Yeah. I should just mute you out if I can't. No, I just wonder if you could make this with tinned pineapple.
I think you could. I think you could because you basically are... Pineapple's pineapple, isn't it? I mean, it's goes straight into a tin when it's whole.
Yeah, and when you this one, the raw pineapple, you toss it with sugar and oil and rum. So that's what pineapple in tins is, in some kind of syrup, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it is, but you can get the tins that are just in juice.
Oh, well, even
yeah,
better
and
then,
not
yeah.
sweetened. So you can do that and then drain the juice and save it for something else and just do exactly the same. I wouldn't miss out that particular point of putting the sugar and the, you know, all that over them.
You can't use the pineapple juice and whip it up as aquafaba, can you?
Well, you could try, Peter, but you might be there for a while.
this aquafaba biz has got me rather intrigued. Right.
Yeah. But anyway, that's our roasted pineapple and dark rum cake. And if there's any rum left, you might be off to have a nip I'm not sure whether I've got a photo of this. Oh, I have. And I've decorated it beautifully with dried pineapple and actually put some roses on it, but I don't think they're edible. It'll be just for... just to make it look nice. You can take
if it's any consolation to listeners, it just looks like an ordinary iced sponge cake.
That's right, it does. But once you eat
does
it,
look nice.
Bite into it, you'll have those lovely chunks of pineapple that have been roasted with the rum. Yummy, yummy. Right. Now, we're going to... a friend gave me this recipe too, actually, and I tried these and I said, I'd like the recipe for that. People get to know me now. I have a few recipes thrown in my letterbox, so it's becoming like that. But these are called sesame lavash crisp breads, and these were quite easy to make. And actually, I've got to tell you this. My son came round and I said to him, I've just made these, and I gave him a couple of tries. He goes, oh, they're nice. He said, they're nice. And I said, they're easy to make. And he said, oh, I might have to have the recipe for that because I'll make them for my kids. So basically, it's quite simple. 1 cup of plain flour, 1/2 cup of wholemeal flour. Now, 2 tablespoons of black sesame seeds, which I wasn't successful in buying, but I had heaps of the pale, you know, the pale sesame seeds, the normal ones. But I had some chia seeds in my pantry, but I didn't go overboard with those. I just sprinkled, you know, 1/2 teaspoon in to make it look like, you know, there was black ones amongst it. And so I'll keep looking for the black sesame seeds. But 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 4 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of sesame oil, 1/2 cup of water, and extra olive oil and flaky sea salt. Well, you're preheating the oven to a 160 fan bake again, fan bake in a couple of our recipes. In a mixing bowl, stir together the flours, sesame seeds and salt. Shake the oils and water together and add them to the dry ingredients, stirring to form a soft, pliable dough. And I've got one of those, you know, shakers that have got a lid, so I was able to give it a very, very good shake to make sure that they did combine together. Divide the dough into 4 pieces and roll out on a lightly floured board as thinly as possible. Now, my friend who made these, she put a little note on the bottom and I tried it. Put oil on a board, and I've got one of those big plastic sheets, you know, that you can put your when you're rolling out stuff. And so put a little bit of oil on that and the salt. She reckoned it was easier. So I didn't put flour, but I'm thinking maybe I should have, because I did put oil and salt on my baking piece of, you know, paper sheet that I've got, and I rolled it out. You don't have to grease the tray that you're putting it on, because there's quite a bit of oil in these, so you don't have to worry about that. So I did roll them, but cutting them, that was fine, but actually getting them off, you need maybe a palette knife or something like that to take them off and put them on the other tray, because they were sort of quite, what's the word for it? They were still sort of moist, if you know what I mean. Maybe I put too much oil. Maybe I should have just brushed the baking sheet that I've got with oil, but I didn't. I poured the oil on it and sort of spread it around. So this is an experiment. You can try the flour, and next time I make them, I am going to try the flour and then just brush them with oil and put the sea salt over the top. And then you bake those till they're crisp and golden, 15 to 20 minutes. Well, I actually gave them about nearly 25. I opened them up after 15 to 20, and I sort of felt that they could just do a little bit more. So I gave them, you know, just a couple of minutes each time, but I think adding it up, it was nearly 25 minutes to make them lovely and golden. And then you cool them completely before storing them in an airtight container. So very successful. I'll be making these again. They were easy.
It must be a blue moon today, because Gail actually brought something in that she cooked. So, yeah. And that was a few of these sesame lavash crisp breads. Although, from what the way you described the way you cook them, they sound like any old black seeds lavash crisp breads. having not got the black sesame seeds.
No, but I don't know whether that makes a lot of difference. Maybe it's the appearance, but I'm not sure. But anyway, it had a good dollop of the ordinary sesame seeds, but I'll be on the lookout for black sesame seeds. Can't say that I've seen them in the supermarket, but as we say, when you're not looking for them,
they won't leap out at you.
They'll jump out.
Yeah. Oh, well, yes, they will then. Very, very good. Well, there we are then. Another four delicious recipes from you.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And you said something interesting just to before you launched into that, where you said people are starting to pop recipes through your letterbox. I just wondered, would you be interested if we asked listeners to send in recipes, grandma's
old? Well,
if they've got, exactly.
I mean, you know, I have a lot of recipes, but if somebody's got a recipe, I was just talking to somebody before and they made something and it sounded really good. I said, send me the recipe. So if there is something, like you say, grandma's old recipe or something that they've really tried and true and think people should know about it, I'd be very happy to hear from them.
And we don't have to use them if you don't want to.
No. No, that's right. But sometimes it's quite a good idea.
I think it's a bit of sort of, it gets people involved, doesn't
exactly.
it? All being well.
Exactly.
Mm, okay. It's a community program.
Well, it is a community program, and we love giving out. So if they want to give in, you know, to if there's something that they particularly like, I'm happy for them to share it with the community.
And if you cooked one, bring it in and share
well,
it with
well,
us.
For sure.
Gail, thank you very much once again. An interesting program, some delicious sounding food there. And, well, same time, same place next week.
That's right. And don't forget to look on the Facebook page for Peter's. They just look delicious.
Oh,
they're going to end up there. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Bye,
all
listeners.
Right. Thank you, Gail. Bye for now.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.